Now, back to a couple of guys that think Dr. Doolittle was a quack. It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here at the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as our guest in the studio, Marla Swartz, who is the owner of Come to the Rescue in Howell, Michigan. Welcome to the show, Marla.
Thank you very much.
It's our pleasure to have you. Marla, for our listeners who've never heard of your rescue, can you explain to them what it is exactly that you do?
We have become a rescue with the intention of helping other rescues and helping people connect and connect to problems they may have with care for their own animals, problems they may have with vets that they can't deal with, rescues that are overflowed and need fosters. So it's kind of been a way in which we can help people that are unable to do things within their own means. So an assistance.
Interesting. And is it mostly just cats that you work with or dogs as well?
It's cats. It's dogs. I've been getting calls on horses lately, and I have been passing along information for horses that need rescue.
And some of this started by just owning a farm and being straddled with a number of rescues yourself, correct?
Yeah, many years ago, before I had my children, I had a farm, moved on to a farm, and had one horse and no dogs and one cat. And we lived on the corner of M59 and Hickory Ridge, where Jay Chevrolet is now. And we found we'd wake up in the morning and have animals tied to the post, goat, a horse, raccoon babies, skunk. So we ended up taking in animals, and we had four barns on the property, so we put in stalls. And by year three, there we were at 280-some animals.
Oh, my.
So they've all lived out their lives with us. Somewhere we were able to place in homes, but we started making sure all our animals were spayed and neutered and did that for about 11 years, heated with wood, live self-sufficient, taught other people to do the same.
Wow. I think whether it's the Humane Society, animal control, it would be easy to say that there's an endless amount of need out there.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you're at least one step further and one more linkage and one more facilitator in the process of trying to save animals that are otherwise lost. Would that be a fair assessment?
Absolutely. We end up with the ones that nobody else will take, and we get them vetted and find them homes. There is a place for everyone. You just got to search.
Well, and it's got to take a certain type of personality, Rick, because if I found a goat attached to my gate, I would think it was after a sports performance. And I don't know how I might take that. But bottom line is, it's awfully good that you do that. What is it about your personality that led you to this? I mean, have you been involved with animals your whole life, or was it a gradual evolution?
I was allergic to everything as a child, and my parents wouldn't allow us to have any pets. And I always said, when I grow up, I will have a horse and I'll have a cat. And I moved into a farm that was at 21 that had no fencing, and the barns were torn, you know, apart and really needed repair. And I moved in with everything I was allergic to, just to find out that I really had outgrown all my allergies.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And we were able to take in a lot of animals.
Okay. And I think that kind of reminds me back when I was, when we got into the pet business, that's where my mother ended up going. She was with a household without pets. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then when she got older, she was saying, not going to do that. So she got into a household of pets. And we still had allergies, but we kind of blew our nose through it. So,
Well, it's amazing that you do that. So in facilitating, help our listeners understand, how does your organization compare to other rescues that are out there, Humane Society, animal control, those types of organizations?
We are not a 501c3. Most of these rescues are 501c3s, and they're taking in animals that they are going to turn around and make a profit on. I'm not really a registered rescue, so I'm not looking to make a profit on an animal. If we end up with a litter of kittens, let's say, that's born in a foundation of an abandoned house, we're going to test them, make sure that they're feline leukemia safe, FIV safe, and then find, there's really only five fosters that I've had that I've done 144 animals from April 1st of last year to April 1st of this year.
Holy smokes.
Which is more than a lot of rescues turn around. But we don't overflow. Like, we won't just take in anything. We'll take them as we can, one at a time. Like, we rescued 11 from a household that were having, they had 11 kittens once we got them. So we ended up with 22. That's a big load for us. So I'm really trying to be an assistance to help people, A, keep their own pets by helping them get food if they don't have it, medicine that they can't afford at an affordable price. If rescues are overflowed, I'll make tons of phone calls. I have a lot of resources that I've accumulated through Facebook and other organizations and meetings that I go to for, you know, No Puppy Mill. And so usually if you have 180 people you can email in a day and there's a situation, you can usually find one or two people that can help you with, whether it's placing an animal, holding an animal, rescuing an animal, fostering an animal. We need more fosters. And as the economy gets worse, we get in deeper trouble. And right now we're in kitten season. So a lot of people, there's a big burnout level at in fostering. Huge burnout. You might take in a few litters of kittens. As they get adopted out, your heart breaks. That, you know, you get attached to one or two. And it's hard. But I think people get to this burnout level quickly, within a year. So there's always a need for people that, more people that are out of work, they're home, they have less to do. So I'll say to them, why don't you take in two cats and help us out? We go to the farmers markets and we show them, but we check on people's references. We check with their vets. We check with their neighbors and make sure that they're not in a situation where they can't take care of themselves, so then they can't take care of another animal. So I've been in the music business for many years, and I was a connector in that business, and I just kind of transferred this over to the animals as less and less gigs were available and less venues closed down and more festivals became, you know, unable to be booked. And transition, really.
That's interesting, because I'd imagine the personalities of the animals are probably easier to deal with than the personalities of the talent that you're dealing with in the music business.
Yeah.
And I suppose it would be impossible without the internet at this point to do what you do.
Yeah, the internet is absolutely the tool that we need, because I do a lot on Facebook, and that's worldwide. I'll get an email from a friend in Germany saying there is a bait dog that's 16 pounds in Georgia laying in a pound. And I'll, you know, I know a girl in California that takes in bait dogs, and she flew out to rescue it. And with my help and someone else's help in Seattle and someone else in St. Louis, we saved this dog that now goes to kindergarten classes and, you know, is a training tool, but now also has a home minus one ear. But, you know, it's been a big help.
So the topic today, we're trying to kind of focus on cats. And one thing you can maybe help us is, how do you delineate between a good and bad cat owner? You know, and you're going out there on the field, and in some you're making the decisions to help them along because they're just in financial difficult situations. And others, you're probably making some decisions of trying to get that animal from that area, that cat. You know, what's the delineating line there? What goes through your mind when you approach these situations?
Well, okay, it's kind of hard to answer, in the fact that a good cat owner is somebody that can afford to have a cat and have the means. But if they have the will and the love in their heart, then we'll help them. There are donations for food. Sometimes people are home and out of work and on unemployment or have no income, but they have the time to help a cat. So if we can get them the litter, the food, and they have the will and the love in their heart to do they become a great cat owner and a great foster.
Interesting. And when it comes to coming up with the money, I've got to imagine this is expensive. Is this purely coming out of your pocket, or have you figured out a way to gain assistance from others?
Donations and Facebook's been huge. You put up a page on Facebook if there's an animal with a huge need. And donations, I had one lady send $380 for a dog that needed heartworm treatment. She sent from Tacoma. And the dog was in Howell, Michigan. So that and other donations came in. We were able to get the dog well, and the dog is in an amazing home right now with a lawyer and a nurse.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And if someone is interested in doing what it is that you do, if there are other people who have time and are of goodwill and good spirit and they want to do this, what advice would you give them?
If they contact me, I'll be happy to walk them through it and help them become a rescuer and a connector.
And what and how would they get in contact with you?
They can call me directly at 517-548-1780.
Okay. And on Facebook, I would imagine?
They can find me, Marla Swartz, on Facebook in Howell, Michigan.
Fantastic. Well, we've been talking this morning with Marla Swartz, who is involved with Come to the Rescue in Howell, Michigan. And Marla, thank you so much for what you do. It's the kind of spirit that I bet a lot of people wish that there was more of. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
And Rick, we've had a very fascinating show today. I mean, the topic of cats is always one that really intrigues me because I admit I just have not had much experience with them growing up. But it's such a big issue this time of year to take good care of them and keep them in good health. Yeah. And when we do shows like this, at least we give people ideas of how to keep them exercised and properly maintained and what to do with them, unfortunately, during kitten season, which seems to come about quite often. So on behalf of our producers, Mark Price and Holly Rotter, and the pet expert himself, Rick Pruse, here in the studio with me, this is Lee Cohen wishing all of you a great weekend and a great week next week. We'll see you next weekend for the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And please, please take good care of your pets. Have a great week, everybody. Digging.